next week is Memorial Weekend. There's a reason it wasn't next Sunday. Alrighty, if you would, turn to the back of your bulletin for the opening words. Gather us in, O Lord, and purify our hearts. Gather us in, O Lord, and make us one people.
For we have strayed and been estranged from ones we love.
Gather us in, O Lord, and make us your disciples.
Teach us your will and your ways, and that we may live with our love.
Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 369 in your hymnals. We'll sing Blessed Assurance. Please turn to 888 in your hymnals and we'll have our affirmation of faith. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God,
Well, this is the children's moment, and so all children are welcome to come up. Do you want to come up, sweetheart? Yeah. She's visiting with us today. What's your name, honey? Madison. I want everybody here to say hello to Madison. Hi, Madison. All right. How nice to have you. It's great to see everybody here today. I need some help. Are you all going to help me? How are you going to help me? What are you going to do to help me? He's going to listen to what I have to say. My goodness. What else can you do to help me? What kind of help do you think I need? I just need help because today I'm feeling a little sad and lonely. What will you do to help me? Be a friend. Oh, that would be wonderful. Do I have new friends here today? That's terrific. I need your help so much. And guess what, boys and girls? All of us here need your help and need the help of God. And God promises us help. God will come to us when we seek him. And God will be there for us. But one way in which God is there for us is through you. You can help show God's love when you help someone else, especially when they're sad and lonely like I get sometimes. So who's going to give me a hug today? Who's going to help me out? Well, then come on. Give me a hug. I need it. I need your help so much. I just need you. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you for hugging me, everybody. Thank you. And you just made my day. And you did. You made my day. Aren't you wonderful? Thank you for helping me. And I know that you're okay. All right. You're okay. All right. Excellent. I'm glad you're okay. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. You have promised to help us, precious Lord, when we need your help. And help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world by helping our brothers and sisters who are in need. And we just thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you so much for the gift of these children because you have made them and they are precious in your sight. Give them, dear God, all the help and strength and love that they need to continue to grow in your grace and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here you go. Here you go. Take one piece. Everybody gets one piece of candy. You want a piece of candy, Jaden? Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your hug. Thank you for your hug. Did you find one yet, Tate? Okay. There you go. Oh, there's no children's church today because our teacher has been sick. We continue to serve and worship our God today through the giving of our gifts. If the ushers would please come forward. Let us pray. For all good gifts, dear Lord, we are truly grateful. Help us to lead lives of gratitude and love for your presence among us and your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
How great to have the choir singing with us again. That piece that George played a few moments ago during the offering was Love Lifted Me. How many of you know that? Most of you, not all of you, not all of you know that. I with that plus singing Blessed Assurance, and I felt like I was at camp meeting. And that was a wonderful feeling. That was a wonderful feeling. I appreciate that. And it goes along with my sermon, as you will see shortly. But I want to lift up now some folks that need our prayers that we want to go to God in prayer about. I'm going to give you a long list of names, and I'll probably leave somebody out. So we know that God knows the need before we do ourselves. But I want us to continue to pray for Mary Dixon, who was in a car accident, and she's doing much, much better. Joseph Haney was also in a car accident, and he's doing well. Jean Story is getting treatment for cancer, and we need to remember her in prayer. Sharon Harris just needs so much. She has so many needs. And I have reached the point where if anything's going to be done, God is going to have to do it because I don't know how to help her. I really don't. And so we need prayers for Sharon. Connie Laurie, who has a number of problems and illnesses. Kay Lewis also needs our support right now. I'm very happy to see Audrey Fry here today. Yay, Audrey.
I heard you singing back there.
That's right. She was singing in absentia with the choir. Don Giles and Leanne Christensen, who were in a motorcycle accident, are recovering and have been in church these past 3 weeks, and I am just so grateful that they're doing so well. Bob Lambing is at the care center after having gone through open heart surgery and is making progress. And today we want to pray for John Bryant, who broke his arm and this week falling off his bike, and he's here, and he's in some very comforting arms right now. So we are so grateful for John and the gift he is to our congregation. And I know there are others, and I want you to name them either silently or aloud as we enter into this time of prayer together. And I like us to be able to try and commune and connect with God, and sometimes that's hard to do in this kind of setting. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And open your ears for God's voice. And let his voice drown out the voices of the world. The voices that are demanding things from you and need things from you. But God wants to give you something. Let God in. And share with us, if you feel called to do so, the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life where God's healing touch is needed today. needs are great, dear God, today. Greater than any one of us can handle, but they are not too great for you. Because you come to us, showering us with your special grace when we need it most. Your love is there for the asking, for the taking. Help us to open our hearts and minds to receive what you have to give to us today. Because we cannot walk this journey by ourselves. We need you with us. Carry us when we can no longer walk, O Lord. And we pray today for all those anywhere who are suffering through violence, through death, through loss of any kind. We pray, dear God, for your healing and wholeness and peace. And help us to be your people called into this time and in this place to be a community, a beloved community for the world. And we do that when we pray the way you taught us, when we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 380 in your hymnal. We'll sing, There's Within My Heart a Melody. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 6, 1, 3, and 5.
Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you'll hear why I needed hugs from the kids in a minute. I read something this week that, you know, this week is about the beloved community, this theme that is in our scripture passage, how we love one another and how we sustain one another, how God is with us, God is present with us. Well, I read something that was the antithesis of this. So I'm going to share that with you, and I was almost as upset as Jaden is now when I read this. The philosopher Schopenhauer drew this portrait of humanity that left me feeling down all week long. He compared human beings to a bunch of porcupines huddling together on a cold night. He said, "The colder it gets outside, the more we huddle together for warmth. But the closer we get to one another, the more we hurt each other with our quills. And in the lonely night of Earth's winter, eventually we begin to drift apart and wander out on our own and freeze to death in our loneliness." Now you know why I was depressed all week. What a sad image that is. But the saddest thing about it is that it is frequently true. We draw together for comfort and for warmth, and then we prick each other and we pull away into loneliness. In everything from our politics to our own backyard, over and over again, we see this scenario play out. As I know painfully too well, almost half of all marriages end in divorce. Friendships fail or fade away. Churches fight and split apart. Neighbors squabble. And government is awash in a sea of contentious contrariness. And the federal government can't stop name-calling and finger-pointing long enough to actually run the country. So yes, we do. We draw together for comfort. We prick each other. And then we pull away into loneliness. And I guess this week it felt like an inevitable and incurable state of affairs. We seemed to be doomed to a recurring cycle of false hope and shattered dreams and despair. But my friends, the gospel says no. This is not our future. There is hope, and that hope is Jesus, the Christ of God. Jesus Christ has broken into our downward spiral and has transformed it into an ever circle of love. Jesus has appeared in the prickly midst of our huddle and has pointed us on the way to a peaceful kingdom of God. John 14:20-21 that Jamie read for us. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. John lays before us this description of this circle of love, a cycle of care, a spiral of gentleness and peace. A new community is formed, built by the work of God in Christ and bound together in a web of love, and it is called the church, the beloved community. How do we become this community? What do we have to do to make this happen here in our church? What are we doing? What do we need to do? And the answer is nothing. We don't do anything to become this community because we are already this community. We don't become it. We are it. It is here in our midst. It is a gift of God. Our call instead is to pay attention, to look at our community with love and nurture it with care. Not to criticize, not to judge, but to see within this huddled pile of prickly porcupines the present body of Christ. I want to tell you a story that a young woman once told me about something that happened in her own family many years ago. Her family, her young family, was a military family, and many of us know about that personally. And her husband is an officer, and they have frequent moves around the country and staying, you know, not longer than 2 or 3 years in any place. But they're people of faith, and wherever they move to, they go to a church, and they find a church home. And at this time of the incident, they were in a church, a wonderful church, that was particularly good for their little boy named Jay, who was very shy and had difficulty interacting with people. He went to a Sunday school teacher who was another military man, a father of three girls, and he was a man who lit up the room whenever he walked into it. He always made the person he was talking to feel like they were the only person in the room. He could make you just feel special. And that's exactly what this little boy named Jay needed. He was the perfect teacher for him. And the boy loved church because of that man in his class. There came a time when Jay's father was on a year-long deployment. And as many of you also know, those times are tough on the military person and their families. And the Sunday school teacher and his family were great about including my young friend and her three children in their activities while their father was away. They were military, so they understood what it meant. And in particular, they had a little girl named Susie who would help Jay and draw him out and take him by the hand and get him to play with the other kids. And she really helped him come out of his shell. But then, in January of that year, a terrible tragedy happened, and the Sunday school teacher was killed in a training exercise. Everybody was shocked. The community, the church was devastated by this loss. And his widow and their children, including Susie, were just lost. And they were frequently absent from church. They were trying to adjust to a new normal, if it could be said that you ever could. Well, about a month later, some of the young mothers decided to hold a Valentine's Day party to invite the young girls who lost their father to come and be a part of. And this was supposed to be a very happy occasion. There were lots of children running around the house with decorations, pink and white, and banners that said love. And then the Sunday school teacher's children arrived, minus their dad, and the sad little girls entered the home very downcast and silent. And an older boy walked up to them and said in this nasty voice, "Nice of you to show up since your dad died." And the older girl just burst into tears right there, and the adults didn't know what to say or do, and they finally rushed in to discipline that one child and to support the girl who had burst into tears. And in that confusion, my friend found herself alone with Susie, the Sunday school teacher's other daughter, middle daughter, and her son, Jay. She was so little and had been through so very, very much. And then she watched as her little boy, Jay, the sweet, shy child, walked over to Susie, put his arm around her shoulder and whispered, "I miss my dad too." And they stood there in the kitchen, holding on to each other with their thumbs in their mouths, heads together, loving on each other through the pain of the separation and the sting of death. Jesus promised his disciples that he would not abandon them to the loneliness of the world's dark night. In John 14:16, he said, "I will not leave you orphaned." And he has not. He has come to us in the visible body of Christ in the world. the church, which in this case was a shy little 5-year-old boy reaching out with arms of love and words of comfort. We are called to be the church in the world. We are called to stand up and stand out in the midst of the world's cold and prickly winter of loneliness as a warm place of community and acceptance, of forgiveness and love. It's love. It's love. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 328 in your hymnal, we'll sing Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Presence is in this place. Where there is love, there you will find Him. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. And as you leave this place, go in His peace. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, in the glory of your
Choice music. We sang that before.